Good morning. Today we're going to be in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. We will be concluding the seven churches this morning. And some things we need to know about the church at Laodicea. The church was kind of self-satisfied and unconscious of its need. A fact that is basically more pitiful than the actual, that fact is more pitiful than the, and makes it so deplorable, I guess, is the word I'm searching for. The church was known as, it was tepid, and a tepid religion is nauseating. And the title of the message this morning is How to Avoid Making Jesus Sick. The church there at Laodicea, it was a zeal for and a fervor for organization, but it was indifference to the gospel. Basically, the Laodicean church had shut out the Savior. Now, the letters to the seven churches, we understand that the best way to put this is they are x-rays given to us, God's x-rays given to us, so that we might examine our own lives and ministries. So, as we jump into this, let's remember, okay, that even though we can point the finger at Laodicea, there's also a finger pointing back at us, if you will. Now, let's start out in verse 14. To the angel of the church at Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, ruler of God's creation. We need to understand who's writing this. Okay. Amen was used as a Hebrew, in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, as a synonym, basically, for God. Okay, it mentioned His character of being fixed, unchangeable, trustworthy, and Jesus here. Okay, Jesus here is the origin or source of creation. And most of us, okay, especially me, would be wise to listen to what's being said here. And it's also wise to listen to our Savior at any given moment in time, especially when He reveals things through Scripture. So let's do that this morning. Let's go on to verse 15. 15 says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot, and I wish you were either of them. What is he saying here? Jesus is saying to us and to the church here, especially at Laodicea, he's saying, look, you're just tepid. You're just lukewarm. You ever notice that in a restaurant, when the waitress makes her rounds, you know, she always checks and says, is everything okay and all that. She usually has what? Either a pot of coffee, depending on the time of day, the breakfast time that this would happen more often, but she'd have a pot of coffee, and what would she do? She would come and can I fill your coffee? Can I fill your coffee? Can I fill your coffee? What is that saying? That is saying to us, okay, that we as people enjoy a hot beverage, or if it's lunchtime and sometimes breakfast, but if it's lunchtime and supper time, then she would go around with a thing of iced tea and refresh that. Or if you're drinking a soda pop or whatever, she would ask if you'd like a refill. Nobody likes a tepid drink. You ever notice that? Nobody likes a tepid drink. Now look, I'll drink cold coffee. I'll drink hot coffee. I don't like tepid coffee. The only reason I drink it is because it doesn't go to waste. But I don't like it. And here's what Jesus is saying to them. Look, be one or the other. Okay, we can deal with one or the other. But you being not you know, you're neither hot or cold, man, do something. Verse 16 says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And that's what we were just saying, okay? It's like, oh, man, I can't tolerate what's going on here. Be one or the other, because I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. It's like having that lukewarm nastiness just sitting in your mouth and going, ugh. Now look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They thought they had it going on. The church here at Laodicea thought that they had it really going on and things were going well and all that, and they were spiritually bankrupt. Okay? Listen to these things again, okay? You think that you say that this is the church here at Laodicea, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I do not need a thing. But you do not realize, okay, that is a condition that we, a lot of times, we don't like to find ourselves, okay? You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They were spiritually bankrupt. And Jesus is calling to us to eliminate all this self-righteousness. Okay? We are to depend on Him and Him alone, not our works. The church there at Laodicea thought they really had things going on to the point where, excuse me, to the point where mechanically we're sound. We're checking the blocks, we're doing this, we're doing that, and they have left Jesus far behind. They have left Him far behind. Now Jesus makes an offer here. Jesus makes an offer to them, okay? In verses 18 and 19. Excuse me. Verse 18 says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shamefulness, your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. What is he saying here? How is gold refined? Do you realize how gold was refined? Okay. Number one, it's excuse me. Number one, it's dug out of the ground, and then, sometimes it's hammered to break it out of the rock that it's contained in. Then it's put into fire, and it's just to the fire. You put it in a really, really hot fire, and it comes out kind of bubbling a little bit, whatever. And what do? You take the dross off the top, then you stick it back in the fire, going through the same process. Take it out of the fire, take the dross off, put it back in the fire, and you'll do this until you get nothing but a pure gold. Okay? And this is what Jesus is saying to us. Okay? This is not a mechanical thing. This is not a gimme, if you will. If we are to be gold, and if we are to buy into what Jesus is saying, we need to be thrust in the fire, if you will. Spiritually, they have on their fool's gold, if you will. You know what fool's gold is, okay? It looks like and sometimes acts like, but it's not, okay? As kids, we used to do that and say, oh, we found gold. No, it was just fool's gold. You go out and, do the rock hunting thing. But what is Jesus saying here? Look, you need to be tried by fire. And it's not that he's being mean and nasty or whatever. But if we just have a convenient faith, and it's not tested anywhere, what kind of faith is that? That's having faith in faith. That's not having faith in a Savior, okay, that can deliver us. Now, if they accept the offer, okay, if the church here at Laodicea accepts the offer, and shall we just be blunt, if we accept his offer, okay, we'll be rich, we'll have white clothes to cover our shameful nakedness, and we'll have salve to so we can see, salve to put on our eyes and all that. Laodicea was known for two things, okay, and one of it was the salve. Okay, the other was a dark garment. Okay. Now, if you drop down to verse 19, 19 says, "For whom I have love, I rebuke and discipline." Where have we heard these words before? Where have we heard these words before? Now, our parents have said this to us on occasion. Look, I don't like what you've done. I'm going to have to discipline you. Sometimes that discipline is severe. Sometimes it's just, okay, grounding. Okay, so I'm going to rebuke you. Okay, that's a grounding thing. And I'm going to discipline you. Okay, that's a good old-fashioned whipping. Okay. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Be earnest and repent. What happens when you're caught in something, okay? When mom and dad caught you at doing whatever you weren't supposed to, there were always consequences. Always. Now, how severe those consequences were, depending on if we fessed up or not. Remember those days? Remember those? Jesus is saying the same thing. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Now, verses 20 through 22, okay, is God's invitation to the church at Laodicea. It's to the church today. Sometimes we use this as a sometimes we use this as the invitation to the unsaved, and that can be, but the primary thing here is he's standing here. So we have an opportunity to participate in Jesus' invitation, if you will. Look at verse 20. It says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Wow. Wow. Remember I said that they had basically, the church here at Laodicea had put Jesus on the outside. Okay? He's standing here, knocking on the door, saying, look, I want to come into your church. I want to come into your life. Will you invite me in? This is a church, this is an invitation to the church and to the churches of today. How many churches are going through the motions today? Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I have overcome and sat down with the Father, okay? Sat down with my Father on his throne, okay? Now, this doesn't mean he's actually sitting on the throne with Jesus, okay? No, that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is that koinonia, the ultimate, what's the word I'm searching for here? That ultimate fellowship to bring you in and sit down with him. To anyone who opens his heart, Christ will come in, sup with them. And this is, you know, again, this is a picture of that intimate koinonia, okay? That intimate fellowship. Now we talk about fellowship and we have this, you know, a potluck and we call it fellowship. This is way beyond this. This goes into to the essence of who we are. It's a connection far above what a husband and wife has. Okay? This is an intimate fellowship with an almighty God. Jesus provided that when he came and suffered and died for us. And the promise is made here. Look, if we suffer, okay. Now, don't take this and say, look, I'm going to go out and I'm going to suffer for Jesus. Okay, I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is when you make a promise to a person, what happens? There's a connection there. Okay? And Jesus is making this promise to us. It says, look, if we suffer, and look, I'm going to tell you this, okay? You didn't hear it here first, okay? But I'm going to remind you, okay? All true believers suffer at some time during their... during their time. Okay? If you're living for the Lord, okay, you're going to suffer. But we also reign with Him. We will reign with Him. There's the promise right there. Okay? Now, He closes this out by says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Excuse me. It's a call to hear what God's word has said. Look, the church at Laodicea, okay, was self-righteous, okay? They thought I had it going on. They didn't, okay? They were lame, okay? Just all kinds of adjectives that you could lay on them. But what Jesus says, look, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Talking about the fellowship that is there. What do we have to do in the life of our church? What is it we must do individually in our own lives to be able to enjoy the true fellowship? Let's pray.